Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to FFS, another Brexit podcast. We've had a little break, but we're back and we are better than ever.
And just a little bit has happened whilst we've been away.
Indeed. And I'm sure that as per usual, by the time we've recorded this and sent it out, the entire political landscape would have changed again. But we're here to do our best to keep everyone up to date. And excitingly, this week we have a really brilliant guest, YouTuber Hannah Whitten.
Hannah has almost 600,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is only just ahead of our podcast. That's a lie. And was recently named in the top 100 influencers by the Sunday Times. She is a published author and a self-described Hufflepuff. Amanda, what's your house in Harry Potter?
I am a Ravenclaw. I only found that out like last week or something. But and yourself, Ricardo?
I'm a Gryffindor, mate.
Sure.
No, do you not think I am?
No, not at all.
Well, what do you think I am?
I don't know.
You think I'm a Slytherin, you just don't want to say it on the podcast. Well, that's fine. We will move on swiftly from what was quite obvious a slander on my character. She's going to be, Hannah this is, not Amanda, she's going to be talking to us today as someone lucky enough to not be directly in the middle of politics about how it all looks from the outside.
Definitely. And we're really, really excited to have her. I think we do need a bit of outside perspective sometimes. Richard and I and the rest of the team FFS are very much in the Brexit bubble or in the campus bubble. And sometimes it's quite nice to chuck a bit of something different in there.
Indeed.
What a week. I don't think that when we decided to do a section of the podcast called FFS What a Week, that it would be quite as out of control as this every single week. And it does feel like saying FFS What a Week has just got more and more and more relevant.
Yeah, and I mean this week and the last couple of weeks has definitely not been an exception to that. It's been, I mean, yeah, it does feel like it keeps spiraling even more wildly out of control, doesn't it?
It does. But we'll come back to the chaos that is politics, because whilst all of that has been going on, FFS have, as usual, continued to calmly and collectively carry on being all over the place. Physically rather than politically, we've been in Edge Hill, Birmingham, Reading and East London, signing students up to the campaign, registering young people to vote and broadly spreading the word that whilst everybody else seems to have completely and utterly lost control, we're here and we think a referendum is probably a good thing to do.
I quite agree. That's lucky. We should probably invest in a tour bus, I think, because we're travelling so much. And therefore, my question to you would be, if we were a band in FFS, who would be what instrument?
Oh, fun. I feel like I'd be the drums.
Okay, right about that. I think Jason would be bass.
Yeah, what would you be?
I would be keyboard. Keytar. I'd be the keytar. Abby would be our lead singer. Izzy would... No, you're looking at me like...
What's a keytar?
It's a keyboard, like a guitar, where you hold it, like...
Oh, right.
For those who can obviously only listen rather than see, I'm now doing the motion by which you do a keytar. Google it, it'll be fun. Let's pivot back to what we are meant to be talking about, which is Labour Party conference.
Oh God, yeah. One of the most ridiculous few days of my life. But we were at Labour Party conference, which began with a slightly ludicrous botched attempt to get rid of Tom Watson. Obviously, that was just an utterly ridiculous way to start a pre-general election conference. But high five to the people who thought they could do that one. Mm-hmm. And it finished with a Supreme Court ruling finding that the Prime Minister had acted unlawfully. So a quiet one, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, definitely sounded like it. And, you know, speaking of the Supreme Court ruling, I mean, how amazing was that? Like, insofar in that, like, the highest court in the United Kingdom ruled that Boris Johnson lied to the Queen. I'm going to repeat that. Lied to the Queen, all delivered through the medium of Lady Hale and her rather sensational spider brooch, which has obviously now sort of spawned about a million different parodies at this point.
Yeah. All hail, Lady Hale. But I mean, it's just, there's just so much going on, and there's just so much like ridiculous thing after ridiculous thing. Mm. The fact that that even happened, that the highest court in the UK ruled that Boris Johnson had lied to the Queen, the fact that that happened midway through the official opposition's annual conference, at the time of recording, only just a week ago.
Yeah.
It just feels like, oh yeah, that was Tuesday. Rather than like, in any non-Brexit world, that would be the front page of every newspaper for approximately 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, just like Brexit news devours itself, doesn't it? Because usually, like, these things would run for... In the past, these things would run for days and weeks and months, whereas like we just keep... I mean, there's obviously been about five different scandals with Boris Johnson, both in his professional and personal life since then. So we're not even talking about really that anymore. And we're on to like the other stuff, so, which is mad. But I mean, we're at the point now where, be it the suspension of Parliament all the way through to whether or not they're going to stick by the Benn Act to extend Article 50, like, you know, Bojo could end up in jail.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like literally not off the table considering... You know, next plot twist, there's currently an investigation into his use of public funds whilst he was mayor of London. I actually literally can't keep up. Like, that story slightly passed me by until it was suddenly on the front pages. And I think I just had a quiet evening, so saw them on Twitter and was just like, oh, okay, so that's the next thing we should all apparently be really concerned about, but I just have no brain capacity left.
Yeah, there's only so much, isn't there?
Yeah.
It is Trumpian in its nature. And speaking of Boris Johnson, we also have Conservative Party conference going on this week, which... So just to give people an insight, so we write the script like a day before to stay up to date and just sort of like left a little gap to be like, this has been interesting. I'm sure interesting things will have happened. But I mean, there's been coffee cup gate, right?
Yeah. And at the time of recording, an MP has just been, I can't remember which MP it is, but he's just been asked to leave the conference.
Yeah.
Because he tried to sneak somebody in without a pass.
His wife, so it was Jeffrey Clifton Brown.
Right, okay.
And he tried, the rumour is, at the time of, this hasn't been confirmed, but that he tried to get his wife into the International Lounge, which is kind of an exclusive part of Conservative Party conference. And the bouncers were like, she hasn't got the pass. Mm. And it appears to be that words were said and fists were thrown. Allegedly.
She's wild.
Allegedly.
Wild.
So that's a thing that happened, which
also,
is
can I just
terrifying.
Say, as somebody who was refused a pass to Conservative Party conference, like, just if you don't have a pass, don't go.
Yeah.
Like, why? It's got to be, particularly after the last bad few years of conferences they've had with, like, P45s being handed to prime ministers midway through speach. As if the security is going to be lax. Like, are you kidding me?
They're going to be like, correctly on the edge of their seat.
Literally, name a safer place in Britain right now. Oh, goodness. Anyway, but we cannot talk about Conservative Party conference without giving a proper shout out to longtime FFS activist Amitai Doku, who featured in an ad by the Conservatives on their official Instagram, which said, "Get Brexit done." Now, Amitai is actually quite well known within, I would say, the People's Vote campaign community as being one of the very first leading, like, youth leaders to come out and say, lol, no, this isn't what people voted for. Let's have a people's vote and let the people decide.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he called the Conservatives out, went low-key viral on Twitter. They then had to apologise. But I mean, it is just ridiculous. Like, he's not like a small figure when it comes to like political people who go to conferences.
And the boy spoke at the launch event for the People's Vote campaign. He spoke at one of the demos to hundreds of thousands of people. Like, he's not like if they took a picture of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's written articles.
But I mean, if we're going to give out a shout out to Amitai, I feel like we also have to give a shout out to the intern, I'm assuming, who must have been in charge of choosing which picture to use and is probably in a lot of trouble and logged out of all Conservative social media accounts right now.
There, but for the grace of God, we're thinking of you, intern.
Now it's time for Onwards, for fuck's sake. And I think a lot of people in the country quite want things to move onwards. But once again, FFS are going to be in students' unions, universities and colleges up and down the country, mobilising young people who want a people's vote.
Yep. Rosie is in Reading University Students' Union tonight. We're in Middlesex tomorrow. We are in Furness College on Thursday. We are in Bath on Friday. We are all over the country. It's literally unbelievable.
It's brilliant. That's what we set out to do, and that's what we're doing. And sometimes sometimes we actually give FFS campaigners enough credit for quite how much they do. So shout out to you as well on this rainy Tuesday.
Shout out to all of you.
Yeah, I thought I'd drop that one in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, this is all sort of leading up to the main event, which is the People's Vote March on October the 19th, right?
Yes, and it's going to be huge. And I think I can kind of say it's going to be massive without putting any numbers by it, because the last one exceeded all of my wildest dreams and expectations.
Yeah.
But if you haven't already, please, please do sign up and come along. If you're on a campus miles and miles away from Houses of Parliament in London, one, you're very lucky. And two, get in touch with your students' union or try and get in touch with FFS to see if there is a coach coming from your campus. Please do come and join us. It is pretty much now or never.
Quite right. And the final thing that's coming up in the near future that I wanted to give a shout out about was on Saturday, this humble little podcast will be sharing a stage with Choppers, as in Christopher Hope's Brexit podcast, with the For the Many podcast by our first ever guest, Ian Dale, who co-hosts that, and a number of other kind of the leading Brexit podcast, Sophie Ridge's podcast as well, on Saturday at Podcast Live. So if you are free on Saturday, we begin kind of in the late afternoon around 4 p.m. Amanda and Jason, who's obviously the regular host, rather than hearing my dulcet tones, as well as a special guest yet to be announced, will be taken to the stage, which I'm quite excited about.
It should be fun. It should be a good day.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as well as getting to see us, you'll get to see all of those other bloody brilliant podcasts as well. So you basically get all of your favourite things in one day, which... why? How could you complain?
But yeah, so head to our social media if you fancy joining us for a day of podcasts.
Delightful.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Today, we are so excited to have with us YouTuber, author, and all-round content guru, Hannah Whitten.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We are exceedingly excited to have you with us today. And I'm sure our listeners will be as well. So first of all, Hannah, we have an award we usually ask our guests to give out, which is the FFS Award for something ridiculous done in the context of Brexit. So if you had to give an FFS Award to someone, who would it be and why?
Okay, I don't know if this is ridiculous, but it was just a tweet that made me laugh. My friend Kezia Rose on Twitter tweeted, and I don't think this video is hers, but she just shared it. It was the EU offering us another extension on Article 50 at 11 p.m. on October 30th. And it's a clip of Davina McCall when she was hosting Big Brother just going, do you want another one? Do you want another one? And the crowd cheering. It's very funny.
Oh, it worries me that that might turn out to be like scarily accurate. You just imagine like Macron being like, would you like another one? And us being like, please.
I sort of believe that kind of extensions to Article 50 are just going to become a part of British public life in the similar way to like the, I don't know, like the Olympics or just like the, like anything. Like
every 6 months.
Yeah, no, yeah, literally, but we will forget why. So like in like 2027, like there'll be a ceremony with which we extend Article 50 and no one will really remember why, but we just will have to do it.
It'll be like a party and no one will know what like the origins of it are
That's a really that's a horrible idea.
No, you're not a fan of that.
No. I'm looking for this whole thing to like find a nice resolution and then we can stay, preferably, but at least stop continuously doing 6 month cycles of stress, arguing, chaos, confusion. you know, repeat.
Yeah, that's like my state of mind.
So you'd be okay with this?
No, as in like that's my current state of mind because of the situation. I would rather it stopped.
To be fair, that's quite like a fair, nice little neat little segue from quite a good FFS award. It's the first time I think somebody's friend has had a shout out as an FFS award.
I think so.
People normally go for like leading Tories.
I don't know who they are though.
No, and that's fine. I prefer it this way, to be honest.
When
with
I
you.
Was told to prepare one, I was like, I literally have no idea. And then I saw my friend tweet this. I was like, you.
content.
I like that. But so obviously, Rich and I have made the mistake, some would say, of living, breathing, sleeping, and basically just existing within inside the bubble of politics of Brexit.
Someone has to.
Maybe.
I'm so glad it's us.
But to someone who has made the wise decision to not do that.
Is it a wise decision? Have I made a decision, or is it me not making any decisions that means that I'm like this? Do you know what I mean?
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to flip that straight back around to you and be like, so have you made a decision, or have you actively not made a decision? / what on earth does it look like?
I mean, I think like if we could just stay, that would be great. If we could just like pretend the last 3 years never happened, that would be amazing. I definitely think that I suffer from Brexit fatigue though. I'm just like, I don't care. But I know I do care, but it's like it takes a lot to care.
I like, find it energy. So difficult when you all know we should all care about this.
Yeah.
And if you ask anybody, I feel like most people will be like, yeah, no, it's dead important. Like, I appreciate it's going to affect X many years of my life. And then you kind of ask them any question, like, what do you think? And you just see the glaze come over their eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, stay with me. But I completely understand.
And also, I just don't feel like I understand most of it as well. Mm. So I'm just like, well, this is confusing.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. What is the backstop? I've had it explained to me so many times, but I still haven't got, you know, there's like the different levels of like learning information.
Yeah.
And the final level of like true understanding is being able to teach it to someone else.
Yeah.
I could not explain the backstop, which means I've not quite reached enlightenment with understanding what that is.
The enlightenment stage of understanding the backstop.
I'm like, nope, couldn't teach it to someone else, which means I don't understand it yet.
So
this was actually going to be one of the questions I was going to ask you. So obviously, you know, we're living through a really important and some would say quite exciting, if they're weirdos, but quite exciting time in British life.
I'd say also, I'm a history graduate. So yeah. I'm like, I appreciate what this is going to be like for people in the future, looking back on this moment. It's going to be great for them.
Those dissertations
are going to be
think about it, like the equivalent in 100 years time of Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to write like Brexit the musical. Like it's going to happen.
That's a really cool way.
Unless it already exists.
I find it too triggering.
I feel like, I don't know, if you zoom out, it's exciting times, but if when you're in it, it's like,
yeah.
Do you think that's like a wider thing, that the sort of, I'm going to call it the chaos, you find it, like lots of people I speak to find it quite like alienating. Some of it's because of exactly what you just said, like there's just so much stuff to get your head around that actually you switch off. Do you feel like that's sort of more widely something that's held to be true, that actually people are just seeing all of this, all of the mess, all of the madness all the time, and instead of going, oh, this is something really important, I should try and shape, they're going, actually, I've got quite a lot of things going on in my rather important life, and therefore I'm going to take a step back.
I feel like because it's kind of been going on so long and been delayed and extended so many times, that like will happen. Like you might care so much at the beginning, and then you're just like, I actually do need to get on with my life. Like I actually, in order to survive, I need to be focusing on some other things right now. But I don't know. I feel like it's a real mix. I think you've got people who are completely Brexit fatigued, and then you've got other people who the confusion and the chaos and everything is just fueling everyone more.
Yeah.
And becoming more engaged and like more active.
I think that's fair.
I also think there is something, particularly when we're on campuses, it feels like students go through like waves, if that makes sense. So like some days they'll be so angry, and it tends to be more of like a personal thing. So if like,
because
you know,
imagine
Johnson
a lot of them
something.
Couldn't vote in the referendum as well.
Well, particularly now, it's like most, I don't know too much about colleges, but I know most university students won't have voted.
Yeah.
Which is actually, when you think about that, that is actually like slightly wild. Yeah. Like, yeah. Really. But it does feel like they kind of go through massive, you know, when something dramatic happens in the news, it feels like a lot more of them will kind of be in touch with us and be like, oh, what's this? What's going on? And when it's just kind of not chaotic, but also therefore probably actually some progress is probably actually being made, they're all like, nah, it's time for normal everyday life, like you said. But do you ever notice that in terms of like the people that you work with and like your audiences and stuff? Do you ever see people, if you happen to post about Brexit, getting super engaged or not?
It's definitely like the peaks and then the nothing. But it is usually like when something like outrageous happens. Like I think I probably tweeted and posted bits around when Boris Johnson prorogued, although didn't technically prorogue, Parliament. Like when that happened. But I because it's like, oh, maybe there'll be a general election, I was like gearing up my followers, like, okay, everyone get ready. Everyone register to vote. But nice. I feel like I only like post about that kind of stuff and like every so often. Yeah. I just don't know what to say.
No, I think that's fair.
Well, so I was going to ask about this because, you know, you've got, not to be over fawning in this, but obviously you've got hundreds of thousands of subscribers on YouTube, you've got big audiences on Twitter, massive following on kind of Instagram. What's the kind of, for someone like you, when there is stuff happening, and in particular, you know, knowing that you've done work with Bite the Ballot, haven't you? And like, you're obviously quite politically engaged in a way that I'd suggest quite a lot of influencers or people on social media sometimes shy away from. How do you sort of quantify in your head when you engage with something or when you don't? Like, do you self-censor at all? Do you feel a responsibility to like being talking about these things, or because obviously I imagine when you do post about Brexit you get quite a lot of shit basically, right? I'm assuming, or is that, am I off-piste on that? So that's about four questions.
Yeah,
a lot of questions.
That one. So I do feel that if you have a platform and if you've got lots of people who are listening to you, I do feel like there is a responsibility there to talk about certain issues. However, I think part of that responsibility is knowing what to talk about and when to shut up. And so for me, I feel like I'm best placed to talk about sex education, gender, feminism, like those areas I've kind of carved out as like, these are the things I'm passionate about. These are the things that I know about. So I can talk about these. But then with other stuff, like I think it's my responsibility to actually not say anything, because like I don't know. And it might be more dangerous if I say things that might hurt other people or is misinformed, and so I'd rather kind of like retweet or share other people's voices, that what other people are saying in the space, rather than inserting myself into every single issue.
Do you find that with all topics as well as Brexit? Because I feel like people treat Brexit differently to like a lot of other things, but maybe that might just be MPs or young people. But I do sometimes get the sense that people are like, I can't just have a slightly uninformed opinion on Brexit, but they would let themselves have an uninformed opinion on, you know, loads of other topics around life.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like the two issues that I'm quite uninformed on, that I know that I should be more informed on, and that's like a process that I'm working through at the moment, is Brexit and climate change. Because I feel like everything like is everything at the moment that's happening is like underlined by those two things, especially like in the UK for Brexit.
Right.
And then I've got my little sex education niche, which I'll keep fighting for and keep talking about. But yeah, I think it's important, but also, I don't know, I do struggle to wrap my head around a lot of things. And I think in the world of politics, sometimes people feel embarrassed when they don't know things, because there's constantly this like one-upmanship of debates and like proving someone is right and proving someone else is wrong. And that actually kind of like puts me off from talking about a lot of stuff online. So I like to kind of just shout about people registering to vote.
Which is a pretty good starting point, like to be fair. But do you ever, because I know obviously a lot of your like work and content is kind of focused towards like young women, or that's who I think it is focused to, even if that's maybe not who you kind of niche aim yourself at. But do you think a lot of them actually feel the same pressure, even though they maybe don't have the same audience, in terms of like not saying something ill-informed or just talking about subjects they feel like they 100% know about?
I feel like it's a mix. I feel like my audience are pretty like, I don't know, switched on. And so often they're schooling me and like and educating me on things. I'm like, guys, please help me. What's this? But I do kind of see that just generally on the internet, like you've got people who will just tweet their thoughts like completely unfiltered. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who like won't say anything unless they are like 100% sure, like backed up by all of the peer-reviewed research. Yeah. And I think like the best place is like somewhere in between those two, because you want to be like having a dialogue and having conversations. And yeah, I don't know. I hope that the people who watch me feel like the spaces that I've created online are a place that they can do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I always find that's like a really mixed response, but I do feel like a lot of, maybe it's just the way our current like politics is going, but I do sometimes think a lot of young women feel like they just absolutely are getting more and more towards the opinion of they can't say anything unless they 100% back themselves, know it, etc., etc. Or they've actually maybe already made that conscious decision of this is my one topic and I'm going to throw myself into it and I'm going to actually just not comment on the other things because I'm so dedicated towards.
Yeah.
Maybe I made that really gendered. It might not be gendered at all.
I don't know if that is gendered, but I do feel like there is a bit of this is going to be my topic. Like these are my issues that I'm going to care about. And actually, I kind of think that's fine. Mm. You know, if you pick like your three things that are going to be your bits, because not everyone can care about everything.
You can't be an expert on everything.
Yeah. No. And I think that's fine. And, you know, if we've got people like working in different areas and like, and campaigning for different things, like it will work out. And also if you're not passionate about something, like it's not going to have the impact.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if you focus on the things that you are passionate about, you will make a significant impact there.
Interesting. And if you have sort of to wrap up as a final question from me, if you have any kind of advice either for any of your audience who might be listening in or for any people who listen to our podcast who kind of might be interested kind of in that space that we talked about where they're interested but don't necessarily know what to do or to say, if you had any advice as to how they would want to get more involved in either kind of
I feel like I need this advice.
Maybe not. You're doing good.
Trying.
Well, I mean, so obviously you've talked about like registering to vote. One of the things I found really interesting when kind of reading about some of your stuff is how self-reflective you are about, as you've articulated, the journey that you've been on in terms of like learning about things and being open about that. Is there anything else that you would offer as kind of advice within that space, I guess?
I think one of the things that I've been doing a lot recently is questioning like almost every view that I have of like just constantly being why do I think that? Is that something that I've just like raised and that was just like an idea that I've been given by like my parents or my school or the society that I live in and the type of friends that I have or whatever. Like where has that come from? And like, do I actually agree with that? Or like, is that information actually correct? And like, I don't know, just like just constantly just asking why. I think if more people asked why, then I don't know, things would be maybe like a bit less us and them. Especially like if you're trying to have conversations with someone who does have a different view to you, just like being like, okay, why? And then, okay, that's interesting. All right, well, why that? And like really, I don't know, I think that would help.
And saying why to someone is not like the most aggressive thing.
No, exactly.
Sometimes it feels like if you say to someone, oh, like, why is that? You know, you can just see their shoulders tense and they're like, what are you doing questioning my view? It's like, no, I actually just don't understand.
Yeah, so. And I think that we should do that to our own views as well.
Yeah.
Oh, how healthy. Well, thank you very much for that incredibly self-reflective conversation. I found it very interesting. Thank you so much for coming on our Humble Little Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No, it was an absolute delight. For the listeners who obviously cannot see us but can hear us, Hannah is in her gym gear right now because you're off to...
Zumba, Zumba.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate you taking the time in between your healthy lifestyle.
Oh, thank you.
No, that's all right. All right. Well, thank you very much.
So that's it. Make sure you join us next week when we'll be speaking to another very special guest about all the latest drama, plot twists and unexpected turns of the Brexit debate. And I'm absolutely sure, if I'm sure of anything, there will be plenty of drama between this podcast and our next podcast.
Never a dull moment. So thank you so much for listening. Remember to tell your family and friends, your course mates, your classmates, your random acquaintances, people on the tube or other forms of public transport, or just share us on social media like a normal person.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.